There are many paths in paganism today, none so more real and earthy in my opinion, and close to a real old-time witchcraft than a hedge witch. How can I say that? Well, as an hereditary hedge witch myself, I can tell you that hedge witches still exist. Many of them are hereditary, applying the knowledge and passed down skills of their forebears. Both of my grandmothers could have been easily described as Scottish hedge witches. It was common in Scotland for a farmer's daughter, for instance, to have a strong knowledge of matters which today many might call witchcraft or Wicca. There are more than a few definitions of what a hedge witch is and does, but the reality is, why speculate on what is witnessed in oral testimony and passed down knowledge within families and still practiced as the old religion? But then, is it a religion or is it a way of life? I argue that it is a whole way of life which affects how you think about and approach things in this physical world, and mirror or relate to them in the other world beyond the hedge. A hedge witch, after all, rides the hedge between worlds. He/she is a walker between worlds. Hedge witches traverse the spiritual and physical worlds using a practice called hedge jumping. This means crossing into and communicating with the spirit realm, also known as the other world. Some believe that the traditional image of witches flying on a broomstick could be a misinterpretation of this practice. I have long found it interesting that Raymond Buckland had pretty much gone full circle from being a practicing Gardnerian to embracing Scottish Pecti Witta, which, had he looked just a little deeper still, he might have come to the conclusion that what he was embracing was actually the way of the Scottish hedge witch. It already had a name. It was hedge witchcraft, and solitary witches were already doing it, and had done this for a long, 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 long time in northern European countries. Again, as I said in other podcasts, through the traditions of the oral testimonies of the Scots and Irish, practices and stories are passed down the centuries unchanged and unembellished, and tend to be incredibly accurate. Such that we can say without doubt that the practices and beliefs of women like my own grandmother were the same practices and beliefs of her grandmother, and so on. Hedge witchery is grounded in nature. Their work is with herbs and herbal magic. It's really no surprise then that the great many of them were country folk, or like my own grandmother, a farmer's daughter. They lived close to the land. Knowledge of the spirits of nature, the properties of plants, the seasons, even the blessings of rain and storm clouds were things they understood and welcomed. No, it was more than that. They were part of the environment. They lived the whole thing, as well as being to the communities, shaman, wise men, wise women, cunning men, cunning women, spae wives, midwives, and healers, and dare I say, in modern definitions, social workers. Their brand of nature-based witchcraft incorporated elements of shamanism, divination magic, astral projection, and herbalism. They used herbs in spirit walking, potions, spells, and medicines. They worked within the boundary of the hedge, the physical and metaphysical border separating spirits and people. They act as intermediaries between people and spirits because they can communicate with both. As an aspiring hedge witch, you can work with gods or goddesses if you choose. It's really all the same, whatever you call the spirits of nature. I always argue that if you're going to practice some Celtic form of witchcraft, and assuming you're going to incorporate spiritual beings, then your spirits should be the same ones that the ancient Celts would have known. That is, not some foreign ones you read of in a book such as Aradia, because those names were unknown to the Celts. There is also equally a good argument for the Germanic Nordic gods and goddesses that the Angles and Saxons knew of, since these practices were similarly found in Germany and Northern Europe. But there is really no right or wrong. So in short, this form of witchcraft seems to be a Northern European variety. So a hedge witch might work with gods or goddesses, or might not. Ancestral spirits, elemental forces, even the fairy folk seem more relevant. So long story short, although some want to claim that being a hedge witch is somehow eclectic, it could be if that's what you want, but just maybe, adopting and carrying on time-honoured traditions is more accurate and will be the same practices 200 years from now as they were 200 years ago. Hedge witches were wise women and wise men who typically lived close to the land and knew the countryside implicitly. Their craft was based on and within their day-to-day activities. They lived their magical craft every waking minute because it was their way of life, not merely a hobby, as witchcraft seems to be for some people. This green craft involved handed down skills from grandmothers, mothers and aunts, and was often grounded in local customs and what grew locally. It was important to understand the properties of plants and herbs, to know how to cultivate them, harvest them, how to prepare them for use and healing, and possess a knowledge of what they can do. In modern times, we call this herbal medicine and aromatherapy. So the adjustment to becoming a solitary hedge witch for many might simply be little more than a change of frame of reference of how you approach and think about things that you do already. There is magical power in everything: rivers, rocks, plants, trees, animals. Although hereditary Scottish hedge witches are under discussion here, since that is where I believe some of the best examples of the original practices survived, hedge witches were common in other countries, which is evidenced, for instance, in the old German word Hagesisa, meaning hedge sitter, and another term found in Northern European traditions, Hagtessa, meaning hedge rider. The hedgerow is merely a symbolic barrier dividing our physical world from the other world of nature spirits, ancestral spirits, and even the fairy kind. The role of the hedge witch is to part the hedge and thus connect with and work with those spirits in the other world to gain their blessings, protection, and spell work. It's about being mindful, experiencing the seasons, learning to feel the moods of the planet, and adopting a spiritual approach to your daily tasks, and seeing life and spiritual magic in everything, things which others simply take for granted. As an interesting aside, I read once of some British witches in the past who had come to live in the USA. Generally, they felt the spirits were different and harder for them to understand and work with. I similarly have crossed the Atlantic and realised that for myself. The same connection to the land is not there for me. It is a very different set of nature spirits to understand and work with. I myself have had to relearn to feel the moods and emotions of the environment and nature. I would like to float the idea here that what they were referring to was the connection to their ancestors, which wasn't there. Similarly to Buckland's idea of Pecti Witta, that connection to the ancestors, in my opinion, is where the power of a hedge witch lies. This connection to the land and the spirits of nature is fundamental to being a hedge witch. But there is a way, wherever you find yourself in the world. Grow some plants, feel the magic when your seedlings break through the soil, wake in the morning to greet the dawn. The spirits will welcome you and recognize you as one of their own, and will extend their benevolence and protection to you. So if you want to work with the spirits around you, you first have to get to know them and invite them into your life. Greet them with songs, poems, burn them some incense. This is easy to do if you have a garden. If not, find a quiet place outside where others will leave you alone and commune with them. I've always found the Christian practice of lighting a candle and breaking bread with the spirits to be helpful. A simple candle and a bread roll, some chosen words, and you're in business. If you are lucky enough to have a garden, learn to grow some healing herbs. It's also good to discover what plants and berries grow well around your area and what their healing properties might be. You might find them in a hedgerow, and it's interesting what you can discover growing in the local woodlands. So you might want to get a book or two on local plants and their properties. So it's about becoming at one with nature. This involves grounding yourself in a knowledge of the seasons, unlike other forms of paganism, celebrating the seasonal festivals and Sabbats, and observing the moon cycle also. So, do you fancy becoming a hedge witch? It's easy to become one, and it's a rewarding, lifelong journey afterwards. Perhaps you are one already and didn't realise it. Do you feel more at home in the outdoors and feel drawn to healing plants, nature, and all that entails? Now, although hedge witches tend to be solitaries, with little use for rituals or dogma, there is no reason that you could not still continue in other paths of paganism also. See it as an extension of your craft and practice, grounded in actual living folklore. Hedge witchcraft can be blended with such things as natural magic, Wicca, green spirituality, and even fairy lore. In fact, it exists to some degree in all of those things already. So to sum up, a hedge witch is a solitary practitioner in the herbal arts, medicinal and spiritual. In time, hedge witches may develop their own kind of magic, which might involve creating healing remedies and often working with the elements, nature, crafts and herbalism, but it's grounded in handed down time-honoured practices. One excellent resource to get you started would be Scott Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs. It's published by Llewellyn, like so many other good books about the craft. The expanded and revised edition would be the one you want. That comprehensive guide features magical uses of over 400 herbs and plants from all parts of the world, and features illustrations for easy identification of every herb in the book. Now you might be wondering what differentiates an hereditary hedge witch from a newly born hedge witch. Well, nothing at all. Hereditaries generally grew up in families where these things were practiced, but you can learn them just the same. They are not meant to be occult secrets. They are meant to be shared and learned and passed on. It's wonderful to find newcomers embracing the time-honoured craft of hedge witchcraft. You're meant to learn the knowledge of the elders, and someday you will be that oral testimony which passes on the same knowledge to others. In addition, I hold the view that it's really no coincidence that you may have an interest in exploring such things. That's your spiritual, even magical side attempting to find out where it belongs. You're a hedge witch.